Impact of in-season variable rate nitrogen management on corn yield and nitrate losses in Minnesota.
Good morning. So this is another study coming from Minnesota. It's good for Minnesota. So the research I'm going to talk to with you the impact of in-season variable rate nitrogen on both water quality and yield. And it's a teamwork I'm presenting, but it's a lot of people involved in this study. So I'll start by giving you a little background why nitrogen, why it's important in Minnesota. And then I'll talk about the methodology we use to develop the variable rate nitrogen prescriptions for in-season. And then I will share with you some of the preliminary results we have this year, because the study is ongoing. We are also conducting the study for next year. So nitrate pollution is a serious concern in Minnesota, especially in southern Minnesota, because we have, in the recent years, we have higher number of wells with higher nitrate concentrations that is causing the risk of blue baby syndrome, but also because of surface water issues related to hypoxia. And nitrate has been linked to agricultural activities where about more than two-thirds of nitrate comes from agricultural-related activities like cropland and pile drainage. And the area that is most at risk is this area here in southern Minnesota, and that's the area where there is a lot of corn production. So why this problem in Minnesota? I think there's a combination of factors that make this problem a serious issue in Minnesota. First is the rainfall that we have, intense rainfall in the spring, and that's usually a time when the farmers already applied nitrogen to the field. So if you have a pre-plant nitrogen application, and then we get a lot of rain, so you get a lot of movement of nitrate from the soil. Also, in southern Minnesota, we have very fertile soils, mostly like molly soils and algae soils that have higher amount of organic matter. So you get a lot of nitrogen mineralization that happens during the growing season. And even with that, you have a huge difference within the field. You have between 3% and 8% can happen in one field of organic matter difference. So that contributes a lot of nitrate that is mineralized. And then in southern Minnesota, a majority of field have subsurface drainage. So that's kind of speed the movement of nitrate from the field to surface water. And then because of the climate in Minnesota, we are limited most of the time to one crop. So we don't have a cover crop that can recycle some of that nitrogen that's left from the corn, for example. And then again, the location of the state, we have higher yield for corn, and that requires a lot of nitrogen fertilizer. So growers tend to put a lot of nitrogen, and that's also increase the potential of nitrogen movement. I think some of these factors are difficult to control, but I think the most important one is this mismatch, as Gabriel was saying earlier. There's a mismatch between, so both time and space or location of nitrogen fertilizer application and the time when the plants needs nitrogen. So that brings us to the objective of this study is to study the impact of variable rate nitrogen on yield and also on water quality leaching of nitrate from this field. And then we also want to look at the drainage, how it affects this combination. So the study site, people are not familiar with Minnesota, so it's up here in the north. And then Waseca is the area where we have the research in southern Minnesota. And we have this field. This is about a 30-acre field here. We have individual subfields within this field. So this field usually is all cropped, one crop. But we are able to measure nitrate leaching, for example, in each of these individual subfields, I call them. They are about 3 acres, between 2 and 4 acres in size. And you can see the line. These are the drain tiles. So we have field 1, 3, 4, and 5. The upper ones here are all low-intensity drainage. So it's about half an inch per day. And then we have plot 6, 7, 8, and 9. Those are conventional drainage, about 2 inches per day. So that allows us to measure the nitrate that is leaching from this field. If you don't get stuck, you can get out of here. Sometimes I get stuck here. So as I say, those are eight sub fields or watersheds, small watersheds with two drainage intensities, and each is individually monitored. So the experimental design, we have a randomized complete design, two intensities, and we are two treatments. So the conventional treatment is applying the economically optimal nitrogen rate pre-plant, and then the variable rate is 45 pound applied pre-plant, and then the remaining is based on remote sensing, or in this case, it's proximal sensing. So we planted around April 28th, and we used a Pioneer hybrid with a seeding rate of 36,000 and 30-inch row spacing. So the idea to derive this variable rate prescriptions, we want to use two references for this field. We don't want to use just like one reference. So we want to delineate the field into two zones, if you want. So we use the combination of LIDAR data that's available for Minnesota, EM38, bare soil imagery, and organic matter from a grid sampling. And that allows us to come up with this two zones in the for the field. And then we developed a NDVI response to nitrogen curve for each of these two zones. So we have an equation that gives us the NDVI is the Y would be, and the X would be the amount of nitrogen. But we have these two equations now for two zones. These two zones, you can think of them as two homogeneous zones instead of like using the entire field. So now we can go and sense the field at V7. And then using those two equations, we can derive the variable rate to be applied. But we wanted to correct it with using yield. So we have for this field, we had 3 years of yield data for corn. So we made a stability map showing high yield, low yield, average yield. And then we normalized that to 100%. So we want to correct the prescriptions. So if an area has a 200 bushel potential, we will get more than an area that has 100 bushel potential. So the combination of these two allowed us to get a prescription map that we applied then around V7. So here's some of the results. So this is just confirming that the economically optimal nitrogen rate that we used, 135, was well within the range. We computed this year, it was around 112. And then this is a very complex figure here. I could have done a better job. But so on the x-axis here is the date from planting time. This is side dressing. And then on the y-axis, to the left, we have nitrate concentrations. To the right, we have the precipitation in inches. And what you see here, you have two colors. You have red and yellow. So red are those fields that had the variable rate. Yellow are the field that has the conventional rate. And within the variable rate, and both the variable and the conventional rate, remember there is low intensity and high intensity. So what you can see here, what you can take from this thing is that low intensity variable rate showed the lowest concentrations throughout the growing season. So we can see here, the number, except for this spike here, that we don't know exactly what happened here, but for the most part it's low. And then also you can see that the concentration is slightly higher, you know, in midsummer, and then it tends to be lower in the end of the fall. So now we want to see the impact of variable rate on yield. So for this exact field, we had 3 years, as I said earlier, of corn data. So we used that to compare how we did this year compared to the three previous corn seasons. So it's very tricky when you're comparing this field because they don't behave the same. They have different yield potential. There is slight variation. So the way we compared them is by normalizing the yield, basically, and looking at the contribution of each subfield to the entire field yield. So we want to see if something happened this year, if one of those plus, you know, lower contribution or higher contribution. And we didn't pick any difference. So the contribution, for example, in blue here are the variable rate plot. So 3, 5, 7, and 9. And they're not plot. I should call them field because they are not plot. So for this variable rate field, we didn't lose any yield. Seems like there is no significant, I did a pair t-test, there is no significant difference between the previous contribution and this year's contribution. However, we have noticed that we have reduced the amount of nitrogen that was applied by 30%. So despite reducing nitrogen by 30%, we did not lose any significant yield in these plots. Between brackets here are the yield for this year. So that will be 200 bushel per acre. So then we looked at the impact on the nitrogen load leaving this subfield. So again, we had data from previous three seasons. And we were looking here, comparing what happened this year with the variable rate. And again, the variable rate are the 3, 5, 7, and 9. And we can see that didn't change, the contribution of each of this plot didn't change except for plot number 3. And this one would be the low intensity, that 1/2 inch per day drainage. So it seems like under conventional intensity, we didn't see any difference. The variable rate did not show any significant difference in reducing the amount of nitrogen leaving the field. But under a low intensity drainage, then we saw a difference in one field. So the take-home message, I think, for this study, and we are conducting the study next year because some of these conclusions we need to confirm them at least next year, that variable rate side dressing reduced nitrogen fertilizer in this study by 30% without affecting the yield, and that the impact of variable rate on nitrate leaching is site-specific. We only saw it in one field. And we are doing the study next year. We are planting corn because we know there is some interaction between fertilizer and organic matter, and we want to see that how does that affect our result this year. And with that, I take your questions. Thank you.
Any questions? We have time for a couple questions.
So how I made the zones using those four different information. It's just heads-on digitization. It's not a supervised classification. It's just digitizing them on the screen based on those four type of information. But it could be done, automatically using an unsupervised classification technique. Or
any idea of what the effect of a nitrogen catch crop would be in your field?
You say
you're having 7 months without any crops there. Do you have an idea of what the effect would be, the nitrogen, how much nitrogen would accumulate?
Not numbers-wise, no, but I know from research that has been done that there is a significant reduction in nitrate leaching when you have a cover crop.